June 2012. Kazuhiro Suga, the new president of Panasonic, has stayed late. On the boardroom table are scattered papers, spanning the company's many, many businesses. This is his first chance to dive deep into Panasonic's situation, and it's not good. The more Suga reads, the more concerned he becomes. Papers upon papers of their 88 divisions, and much of it is in the red. "This is terrible," he mutters in disbelief. "The company is in a desperate state. If they don't change everything, they will go bankrupt." But somehow, this wasn't his biggest concern. Panasonic was a massive and very old Japanese company. They were proud and deeply rooted in their ways. Yet, their business wasn't working. It needed to change. It needed to see the truth. Suga's most difficult opponent would be the company itself. It wasn't always this way, though. Panasonic was one of the most lucrative and fastest growing companies in the world. By the 90s, Japan was the king of electronics, and moving into the 2000s, companies like Sony, Sharp, and Panasonic were the kings of the industry, seen as premium brands in markets like America. Thanks to this success, Panasonic had grown rich and massive. But that's not always a good thing, as Panasonic had become bloated. Their biggest division was undoubtedly AVC, or audiovisual products. TVs, DVD players, all kinds of home media devices. This made up over 40% of their business. Their profitability was growing as well. But beyond that, they had many, many other business divisions. Almost none of them were profitable. This was a huge problem. It's common for businesses to use their cash cow to fund other divisions until they become profitable. But these divisions had been losing money for a few years now. For example, in 2007, Panasonic generated $78 billion in revenue, but their income was only $4 billion before taxes. For now, they didn't see this as a problem, but this would come back to bite them soon enough. But even then, something was going wrong in their golden goose, TVs. At this time, Panasonic's president was Fumio Otsubo, but the more important figure in the story is Kunio Nakamura, the previous president and chairman of the board. Nakamura had a vision. The industry was taking a leap forward to the next big thing. The next big technology, except which would it be? At the time, there was a race between two technologies, plasma display panels, or PDPs, and liquid crystal TVs, aka LCDs. Nakamura believed plasma was the future of television. It had better color accuracy and better picture quality, which made movies look amazing even during dark scenes. Nakamura and most of Panasonic were extremely confident, but quality doesn't always win the race, and neither does confidence. In the first quarter of 2008, 2.8 million PDP TVs were sold, but in the same period, over 21 million LCD TVs were sold, almost overtaking CRTs. Regardless, Panasonic persevered, believing their superior product would save them in the long run. In 2010, at the Consumer Electronics Show, or CES, Panasonic introduced a gigantic 152-inch 3D plasma TV. That same year, sales of plasma TVs had also climbed past 18 million units sold. Things were looking up, but not for long. These sales slowly began to decline, and at this point, LCD TVs had 10 times the sales volume. But if plasmas were better, why were they underperforming? Well, some people were vocal fans of the technology and preferred the higher quality, but they were only better in one area. Plasma TVs had plenty of downsides, including being heavier, less energy efficient, and often left those burn-in marks from static images. LCDs also looked much better in well-lit rooms, making it easier for retailers to push customers towards LCDs. But the real reason is pretty simple. LCD technology got cheaper, much faster. Over time, shipments increased because they were more profitable with better margins. Panasonic bet on the wrong horse, and things were about to get much, much worse.
Lehman Brothers is going bankrupt. And financial markets from Asia to Europe are doing their utmost to prevent Monday from turning from dark to black.
It was a manic Monday in the financial markets. The Dow tumbled more than 500 points after two pillars of the street tumbled over the weekend.
Some people say this doesn't stop until the housing hits bottom. You think that's true?
I think that's probably correct.
As Panasonic was going all in on plasma displays, the 2008 financial bubble finally burst. In 2009, their revenue dropped by about $13 billion, but it was their margins and costs that really hurt, leading to annual losses as high as $5.4 billion. This was Panasonic's worst loss in a long time. This happened ironically because the financial crisis caused the yen to appreciate. The yen is seen as a safe haven currency, and investors began pulling funds from risky investments and putting it in Japan. The yen began to appreciate against the US dollar, but a stronger yen is actually bad for Japanese exporters. If a Panasonic TV retails at 100,000 yen and the conversion rate is 100 yen per 1 US dollar, that's 1,000 US dollars. But if the yen gets stronger and grows to 80 yen per 1 US dollar, that same TV now costs $1,250 while still being 100,000 yen. This meant their products were more expensive overseas. That, along with dropping consumer spending in the financial crisis, compounded the problem. It was the perfect storm, and Panasonic was right in the middle. Over 15,000 jobs were cut to stay afloat. Yet, somehow, a financial crash wasn't the worst thing that happened to Panasonic. Japanese companies had dominated home electronics for some time, but in the late 2000s and 2010s, a war was raging which Panasonic couldn't win. Consumers were shifting to personal electronics, smartphones, and laptops. A focus on home entertainment was falling out of favor for these new devices. But giants like Panasonic and Sony were too big and too slow to adapt. Instead, companies like Samsung and LG quickly captured the new markets. Roger Cheng from CNET argued that the Japanese missed the boat on mobile. Panasonic and Sharp were too insular and focused on their home market to be effective enough to compete around the world. But when Apple came knocking a few years ago with the iPhone, these companies quickly found themselves unable to compete. Do people buy digital music players or DVD or Blu-ray players at a time when everything is streamed? This was said in 2012, and it's even more true today. Panasonic and the other Japanese giants tried to capture this new market, including smartphones and laptops, but their attempts fell flat. Sony was in a better position, having many other markets and diverse revenue streams like PlayStation and movie studios. Panasonic also had plenty of divisions, but few that actually made money. And while Panasonic would largely bounce back from the financial crisis with their highest revenue to date at over $100 billion, their stronghold on the market was collapsing, and things quickly went into freefall. The revenue began to fall, and they went back deep into the red, producing an $8.75 billion loss in 2012. So, in June 2012, Panasonic appointed a new president, Kazuhiro Suga. Yet, they didn't even realize how bad things were. Kazuhiro Suga had been with the company for a long time, since 1979, but there was something different about him compared to his contemporaries. As he stepped into the role, he begins to investigate the real situation of the company, and it's far worse than he expected. Not only were things falling into the red, the company was a mess. It was a stumbling, oversized behemoth.
It was terrible, Suga says.
More than that, it was very difficult to see what was wrong, because we had so many businesses. Suga calls on his good friend Tetsuro Homma for help. The two friends dive deep into Panasonic's books, finances, and operations. And this wasn't just a couple of long evenings. This was 90 days of work. Eventually, after digging and digging, they had found the roots. Panasonic had 88 business divisions, and after dissecting the finances from each and every one, Suga realized a full third of them were losing money. To make matters worse, their most profitable divisions like TVs and electronics were crumbling with the failure of plasma TVs. Homma and Suga soon realized what needed to be done. They had to abandon consumer electronics. They had to rebuild Panasonic from the ground up. Homma says that we understood we had a lot of issues we had to resolve in a very short time. We had to change direction more drastically. Suga added that, I said we are the loser in the area of digital consumer products. There was a lot of work to do, but Suga had another challenge ahead of him. Panasonic is a very, very old company founded in 1918. They had a very proud traditional culture, yet one that wasn't lining up with reality. Our TV guys really hated big screen LCD TVs, Suga says. Staff consistently pointed out how much better plasma TVs were, with higher picture quality than LCDs, though it's not just that they were stubborn. They really believed their products were better and wouldn't surrender. Yet, it wasn't that simple. Previous management had actually kept the reality hidden from staff. Their engineers thought they were still in the fight, but in reality, the war had ended long ago. There was a very stiff culture within Panasonic too. People couldn't speak their mind, and everyone continued doing what they had always done or what leadership said, even if the ship was sinking. Suga says that, in the past, since nobody spoke up at board meetings, the chairperson would say, "Since there are no comments, I will now ask you some questions." But things have really changed since then. Opinions given only by management professionals will inevitably skew the discussion. Suga realized a crucial truth of leadership, which reminds me of my favorite lesson from Steve Jobs.
So the people that can make the company more successful are sales and marketing people. And they end up running the companies. And the product people get driven out of decision-making forums. And the companies forget what it means to make great products. It sort of the product sensibility and the product genius that brought them to that monopolistic position gets rotted out by people running these companies who have no conception of a good product versus a bad product.
The focus at Panasonic had changed completely. No one could speak their mind. Despite the marketplace screaming at Panasonic that plasma TVs were dead, they carried on as normal. I guess we weren't really listening to what our customers were saying. We probably still thought deep down that if our products were good, if we mass-produced them, and they were used far and wide, we'd be recognized for our great contribution. That was half right, but also half wrong. Panasonic had forgotten the most important thing. They stopped caring about the customer. And before you plasma diehards go crazy in the comments about how Panasonic made the best plasma TVs ever, keep in mind that we're talking about the mass market here, and that was clearly LCDs. Now, Suga was going to bring all of this to light. Suga and Homa began visiting all the business divisions, and the focus was transparency. He opened the books and revealed the financial position of each sector, how they're doing, how their peers are doing, and how severe things are. "Every quarter, who is making money, who is losing money," says Homa. "I think this kind of way we can realize serious financial discipline." But the biggest reveal from Suga came on March 13, 2013. In the 2013 annual report, Kazuhiro Suga is transparent and clear with investors and employees. 2013 was another tough year for the electronics industry, as highlighted by sluggish flat panel TV demand, especially in Japan. Under this environment, the company worked to instill a sense of crisis across the Panasonic Group under a new management structure. Whether they believed it or not, Panasonic had been in a crisis for some time. Suga's job was to make the company realize that. But there's more. In addition to the severe business environment, the company recognized its deteriorating profitability following Lehman's fall was substantially due to structural issues. Lehman, referring to the collapse of the Lehman Brothers Investment Bank, a symbol of the 2008 financial crisis. Bad leaders and even most typical CEOs would use this crisis as a perfect scapegoat, but not Suga. Panasonic suffered during the crisis because their foundation had structural issues, and they would now take drastic action. Panasonic sold off 80% of their healthcare business. They stopped making smartphones, circuit boards, and sold off IT service businesses. Suga merged divisions together, and soon enough, the original 88 had shrunk to 37. If the company was going to survive, it needed to be nimbler and more agile, and another focus of Suga's was the head office. The Panasonic HQ had grown to over 7,000 employees. This needed to change. There was too much bureaucracy. Suga reassigned almost all these employees to the operating units, with HQ shrinking to just 130 employees. "Making everything simpler is my policy," he says. Amidst the cost-cutting and closing of divisions, Suga was seen as the devil by many, but it was a necessary evil. Better this than for Panasonic to die altogether. His most important change, however, was to the culture. The quiet, rigid, stifling atmosphere was gone. In its place was one with honesty and transparency. One company executive said that, "Mr. Suga has created an atmosphere where we can speak honestly. There are no taboos anymore." As a final mark of leaving the past behind, Panasonic finally threw in the towel and announced they would stop producing plasma TVs in 2014. Panasonic was ready to step into a new, better future. But what would that look like? Under Suga, Panasonic's revenue fell dramatically, yet their earnings also increased dramatically, from an $8.7 billion loss in 2012 to a $1.9 billion profit in 2013. Some old business divisions may have generated revenue, but many of them cost more than they earned, but no longer. Their debt was also plummeting and fell by 3/4 in just 2 years. Panasonic was nimbler and far more profitable, but there's still a major looming question. Cost cutting and minimizing are good, but Panasonic still needs to generate revenue. But if they were leaving consumer products behind, how would they make money? Panasonic was going to switch gears from business to consumer, B2C to B2B, business to business. In 2014, Panasonic made an agreement with a small unknown company you might not have heard of, Tesla. I'm not even joking, as that's what Tesla largely was back in 2014. But that's not what Panasonic saw. Panasonic had the foresight to see a market that was about to boom, EVs and the company leading the charge. Panasonic and Tesla signed an agreement to create the Gigafactory to produce lithium batteries. That's right, Tesla batteries were actually made by Panasonic. An absolutely wild turn of events. Panasonic had overhauled their business, and now lithium-ion batteries were one of the biggest parts of it. In fact, Panasonic was one of Tesla's most valuable suppliers in their early growth stages, but this was just the beginning. Even when changing into a B2B business, Suga knew they couldn't rely on just one customer. So in 2017, Panasonic formed a partnership with Toyota to help them produce their upcoming EVs. This actually turned into a joint venture between the two companies in 2020, called Prime Planet Energy and Solutions. Panasonic also began producing batteries for Lucid's EVs as well. Panasonic had completely transformed. They had turned things around, and compared to their original Japanese rivals, they were doing phenomenal. For example, in 2016, in the heart of their transformation, Sony reported losses in 4 out of their last 6 years, and Sharp was just acquired by Foxconn after doing so poorly it required a bailout from banks. By comparison, the new nimble Panasonic had reported profits every year since Suga took over. Despite being 56 when appointed and being a longtime Panasonic employee, he had a modern outlook and was very forward-focused, a stark contrast to his peers. One senior manager remarks that the change may not have happened if Mr. Suga didn't take the role of president. He has a very clear and unprejudiced mind about where the market is going and where a business should really go. With all that being said, the future of EVs and, by extension, Panasonic's lithium batteries is currently up in the air. Most EVs are unprofitable and demand isn't as explosive as companies expected. Many are beginning to cut down on EV production, including Panasonic, but unlike a decade prior, the company is finally able to adapt quickly. It's already positioning to take advantage of other business avenues as the battery market declines. A huge step up from where they were, stubbornly marching ahead even when their product is failing. Suga remarked that many people are instinctively afraid of change. That's because they are afraid they might lose something. But the only constant in business is change, and Panasonic is now nimbler, faster, and less bloated, ready to change with the market. Another legendary company that was able to rise from the ashes is Nokia. Check out this video to learn more, but until then, I'm Hari, and I'll see you guys on the next one.